Hi, everybody. We're here for the next episode of Final Cuts by BBS Film Productions. Today we have a special guest. His name is Erickson Dickens, correct?
That is correct. Yes, sir.
Yes, he is the owner of Platinum Peak Video Productions. Would you say that? That's
Yeah,
right.
Platinum Peak Productions. Yep.
Yeah, what really intrigued me about you was that you are doing documentaries, and I thought that was really cool. So, tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do.
Well, first off, thank you so much for having me on. So my brother and I, we started our production company way back in college around 2017. We were in school together in San Luis Obispo, California, and we got back into our childhood love of filmmaking, and we wanted to make a career out of it. And so one thing led to another. Long story short, we started getting any job we could, doing free work, just anything to build a portfolio, right? And we were self-taught, so a lot of YouTube videos, a lot of learn by doing, a lot of trial and error. So we started getting more and more jobs, and eventually we wanted to challenge ourselves. We wanted to do something a little bit more storytelling-esque. And so we're like, let's try to make a documentary, right? I mean, that's kind of the pinnacle of putting a story together. So we felt like, okay, if we can do that, then it's going to strengthen our abilities as filmmakers, as storytellers. And so we ended up making a long-form documentary on my late father, his life. He passed away when we were kids, and so we want to do something close to home. And long story short, we ended up about a year and a half long process of putting together a 80-minute documentary. Interviewed, gosh, probably 40 people or so. And yeah, that kind of was the start of how we really got into documentary filmmaking.
You know, I could totally relate to that. In our business, we're a video production company, primarily short corporate videos, but we dabbled and developed one documentary. It was difficult. It wasn't easy to do. And, you know, we did it kind of backwards. And I didn't know if yours is the same way, but, you know, when we did it, we didn't have a script. We didn't do anything. We just shot it and put it together, and it took 3 years. I mean, it took a long time. Now, granted, COVID was in there, but you know, we made it through it and got it through the finish line after that. But so what's your process? How did you just did you do the same kind of thing with the first one, or was it more scripted or?
Oh man, so that's the thing about documentaries is you can always have like an outline, a storyboard, but you never really quite know what you're gonna get when you actually go in there and shoot it. So when we first did that one, no, we didn't really have much of a plan. We had the general structure of what we wanted to get, but we learned from that, right? And as we went, we started to develop our process more and more. Eventually, we started to like break it down in terms of the seven different storytelling pillars, as we call them, exploring the history, exploring the process of the person, the passion of the person, the obstacles that they've gone through, the successes, their impact, and then their future goals, future aspirations. And that's a little bit more centered towards individuals, or companies, so be it. But that's kind of the structure that we have carried on since developing it a little bit more. But no, that's the cool thing about documentaries. There's so many different pieces, and then putting them all together to create something coherent and congruent while also being informative and emotionally engaging at the same time. We just love the process, and we fell in love with it.
That's cool. You know, we talked before about this, but I equate it to a large jigsaw puzzle. You
Yeah,
know,
that's
once you get everything shot, you're sitting there with all this footage and you go, oh my God, how am I going to make this all make sense?
Yeah, it
You
can be a
know?
little overwhelming.
Yeah. But yeah, exactly. So, you know, to be honest with you, if I had another one come in the door, I don't know if I could charge enough to make it worth my while, you know, to do it, because this is how do you bill for 3 years worth of time? But the fact that you have got it down to more of a science now, that makes a big difference, you know, in doing that. So tell us the type of clients that you'd like to get for the documentaries.
So doing that film for my dad, we titled it His Legacy. And we started to think, okay, we had this idea about maybe doing this for other people as well. And we ended up calling it Legacy Documentaries. So telling stories about people with significant stories who want to kind of cement their footprint on Earth. They can still be alive, or maybe they passed on, like my dad, for example. But we started to really trying to find people, with significant stories who care a lot about their legacy being preserved for future generations. So maybe they're their kids, their grandkids. That way, years from now, they can watch something and then see what their grandpa or their grandma was all about, learning from
Great
them.
idea. Yeah.
So we work with family foundations. Just got a job right now, actually, with a family foundation out of Texas. We've done some for just businesses, entrepreneurs, basically people who really want to have a platform for their voice and evoke a sense of change or just wisdom. They want to evoke a sense of wisdom on future generations. So we've worked with a wide range of clients.
So primarily, it seems like maybe like individuals versus like companies, or is that something you've also thought about getting involved
So
with?
primarily it was individuals at first, but then we started to think like, okay, we shouldn't limit this to just people. I mean, companies can be, they can use this as well. And for companies, they can actually use it a little bit more in terms of marketing or sales initiatives. Maybe it's investor attraction, whatever it might
Yeah.
be. And then that, we've learned to kind of tweak the overall deliverable as well. We've learned that, if this is more about an individual and they want to more so keep it in the family or just more so share it with their loved ones, then they're more apt to want to like a 2-hour documentary because they're going to watch it, right?
Yeah.
Whereas companies, they are a little bit more inclined to use the content for social media, et cetera. So therefore the content is in shorter, normally like shorter spliced up deliverables or something that's more digestible, right? So they can use it,
Yeah.
repurpose it here. So yeah, companies, we've been targeting actually businesses who are coming up on significant milestones, so like their 25th anniversary, 50th anniversary.
Yeah.
We were talking to one for a while coming up on their 100th, didn't go through. But businesses can definitely use these as well.
Very interesting. Yeah, there was a group over here that was doing that. She ended up retiring, but she had a pretty good business. It was primarily working with individuals that wanted the legacy of, I don't know, I don't think it was called legacy, but it was something like that, where they would reach out to somebody. They would actually interview the person, and then they would write the doc. It was shorter though. It was only like maybe a half hour, so it was interesting that there's not a lot of people doing that. And I thought it's a really cool idea.
Yeah, I think there's like an intrinsic desire for it. I feel like a lot of people, and like you said, a lot of people don't really like think about it, but it is a great way. It's a great medium to be able to preserve how you want to be remembered. So.
No, that's very cool. Very cool. So, from a standpoint of the future of what you're doing, where do you see yourself going with this 5 years from now?
Yeah, no, we love to just realistically just have a very full pipeline and be able to do this. Just we do our agency full time, obviously, but the documentaries that we get, we don't get as many as we do coming in for like sales videos or marketing videos, recruitment videos, that type of stuff. So ideally within 5 years, we want to be a little bit less on the agency side of things and more full-on emphasis on the legacy documentaries because that's really our passion. And we're storytellers at heart. So if we can get the privilege to be able to take on the responsibility of preserving people's legacies, that's fulfilling for me. So
Sure.
yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about your agency and what you guys are doing with like companies, for example.
Yeah, for sure. So when we started off, we were just kind of like, we don't really know what we were doing, but we, long story short, we kind of honed in on the three main pillars in every business essentially is their marketing team, sales teams, and their people operations. So like their internal stuff, recruitment, training videos, that kind of stuff. So we really niched down on those. And lately for the past few years, we've been servicing a lot of, wealth management companies, attorneys. Oftentimes they'll apply the videos that we use for like their digital sales funnels. So it allows us a pretty constant stream of work because oftentimes there are a lot of videos involved in digital sales funnels,
Yeah.
cold ads, behavioral retargeting videos, case study videos, that type of stuff as well. We want to make sure that we're providing more than just a flashy, sexy video to put on somebody's website. We're more so inclined to work with a client who has a specific problem. We can help them identify that problem, but then, okay, how do we actually leverage a video to help that problem and
Yeah.
give them results, help them see results as well? So a little bit more measurable.
Interesting. Okay. So you're on the other side of the country. Tell us about how everything is working. You're in California?
I'm in California, yes.
Okay. How is business there and how do you get business?
Business is good, but honestly, we travel a lot. We travel out of state a lot as well, especially for the agency jobs and the documentary as well that I mentioned is out in Texas. So we'll be flying out to Fort Worth at the end of April. But we do a lot of email outreach, honestly, email campaigns. Those seem to work. We're able to scrape certain data and then campaigns going right now. We're also partnered with a digital marketing agency as well. So they'll sometimes get the clients, and then if the clients need videos, then they come to us. We supply the videos for the sales funnels and whatnot while they do the majority of like the ad buying, script writing or copywriting. But it kind of varies. But we function off of referrals alone for a while as well. You can't
Nice.
never underestimate referrals, but eventually, you got to do a little bit more than that as well. So,
Oh
yeah,
yeah.
it's more saturated in California, right? This, LA is
Is
here
it?
and all that. So,
Yeah, yeah. I'm just curious how that works because here in the West, our side of the country, you see, California, a lot of, there's hurting and there's not hurting, you don't know what's going on, with the economy. We hear different things all over the place. And our, but I think it's throughout the whole country, we're all having the same issues. To deal with getting new business and things of that nature.
What about you? How do you normally get business?
Well, in our world, we do a lot of LinkedIn. LinkedIn is probably the 99% of what we do, and just a direct outreach with small videos and maybe like one line of copy. Here's something interesting for your industry. If it fits what you do, great. And it's a lot of numbers. You got to do a lot of numbers to make that happen. And referrals are nice, and I love to get them. And we find the hardest problem is just because I've been in this business so long is keeping track of everything, that you've got going out there.
Lot of
And
moving pieces.
a lot of moving pieces, And that's one thing about documentary. For me, it sucked up a lot of our time. It was very difficult to, if it, our ours was for a very prominent individual, and I was kind of partnering with him to do it. So it was more of an investment for us. But I put 200 hours into it, and
Easily, I bet. Yeah.
it's hard to bill for that. But over time, it comes back to you in other ways, which is kind of nice.
For sure. Because it's
But
not just like showing up and filming. You got to do all the pre-production, and that could be months as well. Preliminary interviews, getting the
Yeah.
plan with who's going to say what, who's going to serve as the mouthpiece for this. And then, I mean, editing is a whole other animal. I mean, I don't think a lot of people realize the animal that post-production can be, especially when it comes to documentaries.
Well, we were getting stuff from people from all over the country. There were some really high-end luminaries that were sending their footage to us. Some of it was good, some of it sucked. And to make it all work, luckily now, well, I wish we would have had the software then that we have now, because there's so much AI software that you can use to make, like for example, I'm not even using a mic today. I'm just like going right into the computer. I couldn't get into our studio, but we have software through Adobe that we're just going to run it. It sounds like a $500 mic when we're done,
That'll
right?
be podcast.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's so
Funny.
cool. As long as you're talking clearly, it'll do it. You still can't talk over each other, but you can make some really cool stuff, out of it. And when I first heard it, I'm like, really? That's actually happening? The days
That's
of,
saved our ass a few times, Adobe Podcast.
yeah, the days of Echo are gone. The bathroom sound in your, when you're doing something, I blow me away. How'd they do that, So that, and then there's also some pretty cool editing tools for like mapping areas on a person to make, that just weren't here 2 years ago, 3 years ago, which is kind of cool. So
It's amazing how quickly AI technology has evolved just in the last year. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy.
yeah, and I don't know how much you guys are utilizing it, but we utilize it quite a bit, and from anything from from the production and post-production to when you upload, taking AI and using the descriptions and optimizing and all that fun stuff that goes with that. Now, I think what's happening is the algorithms are catching on too. When you put something up and you do it with AI, it kind of catches on and it's like, eh, I'm not sure if that's real or not. You
Yeah,
know?
exactly.
So I
Yeah.
still think you need the human touch in there no matter
Yeah,
what you
I
do.
mean, I still will always feel like, you hear a lot of talk about how AI is going to eventually just replace the whole industry, the whole filmmaking, video production. I think there's always going to be a need for the human touch on it. You know what I mean?
I do too. There's so many times where I've went through and I'll give you an example. I had AI make a profile of myself, just so I could have like a profile, personal profile. And I said, look up Dan Portick and talk about get, make a profile, a short form profile for Cleveland, Ohio, BBS Film Productions. So it came back and it said Dan Portick's BPS, owner of BBS Film Productions, blah, blah, blah. He says he is also friends with Martin Scorsese, and he wrote part of the Titanic.
All right.
somebody never told me that, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
New
you.
to me. So I would say half of it was completely false.
Yeah.
And it just kind of went in and saw a film producer and just made it up because it ran out of words,
Yeah.
you know?
Yeah. It can, we've noticed that as well. It's not always reliable. Sometimes it can sound like your drunk uncle at the bar just rambling and talking in circles and not just
Yeah.
saying thing over and over. So I think it'll evolve and get better and better into learning and absorbing knowledge.
Yeah.
But as of right now, it's like, yeah, like you said, we've run into some similar experiences like that too, where it's just like, where is it getting
In the
us?
evolving landscape of
Yeah.
everything has that at the beginning. In the evolving landscape of right. It's like, all right. Moving on. So the other thing which I thought was pretty interesting about AI is the voiceover capabilities. Shocking now. Shocking what it can do.
Yeah.
We probably use 80% of our voiceovers are AI driven. I mean, they're not real people. I mean,
Yeah.
they may be samples of real people, but they're not. And they're almost perfect,
They're
which is.
incredible. They're incredible. Like what we've done replication of voices as well. So it's like we sample somebody's voice and it sounds like the real person. We've used that many times actually.
Yeah.
Super.
It can save an ass too, right? If
Yes.
somebody's missing a spot, it puts it right in there. I guess there's going to be legal issues that pop up at some point. And because let's say you want to use Samuel L. Jackson, what's stopping an AI from making something very similar? And, I mean, where do you draw the line, right?
Right. I think there's some already issues, legal issues that people are taking. Like I know the deep fake, the face stuff is a whole other animal that's been going on,
Yeah.
but I think it's going to create some issues for
Yeah.
sure. I think it's going to be
Yeah.
a lot. I think the government will be a lot more involved in it, if I had to guess, in terms of regulating AI,
Yeah. Yeah.
particularly when it comes to that.
I do see, though, with documentaries, it might be really helpful at some point because I think when at some point, the way I envision the future of this business, and correct me if you think I'm wrong or you see another take on it, I think there's going to be a point where you'll be able to shoot all the clips. And it's going to be able to put them in sequence to where they need to be,
Oh, for sure. Yeah, we talk about that sometimes, my brother and I, about how we envision that happening and how much that's going to save us so much time in post-production.
Yeah.
But we'll see where it goes, right?
Well, it's funny. I've been in this industry a long time, and I have watched the evolution and the scenarios that occur with evolution all the way back before there was even computers, I mean, it was like when people first came out with like computers to design brochures, for example, PageMaker came out. It was the big thing. Everybody and their brother was a PageMaker expert,
Yes.
and they all came out, they all sucked, and they all slowly got better and they weeded down to the good ones. And then some companies shot up, most of them died. This went through everything. I mean, the evolution continued to go through. Right now, everybody's an AI expert and they're all putting these programs out, they're training, but it's a whole new world now. Now it's moving so fast that cycle is like days now, when it used to be a year, you know, it's now days to see that evolution. Very interesting to see what happens next, right?
And I feel like it's kind of universal across industries as well. Like I read something Mark Cuban said the other day about it's one thing to just be familiar with AI, but at this point you almost have to, you can't just be the CEO and depend on your guys just kind of figuring it out and then kind of telling you, okay, yeah, this and that. But you
Yeah.
actually have a fundamental understanding of what it can do, where it can take you, because you regardless, you're just going to fall behind if not,
Yeah.
regardless. So
And
it'll be interesting.
that's exactly right. And I've seen that in industries where, you know, people, they would be in it. I'm talking to them one day, next day they're gone. They're not even in business anymore. And it happens that fast, you know, you don't even realize it. And some of them are just like watching it happening in like slow motion. And you just go, oh my God, I can't believe this is, they're actually just watching it and not doing anything about it. So crazy stuff.
Totally. Yeah.
Interesting. So, somebody that's just wanting to get into this industry, what would you tell them?
Man, be prepared to eat shit. No.
Okay.
Yeah, no. Be prepared for, like, if you're going to start off, like, don't be afraid to try anything and everything, right? Don't be afraid to fail. Get your hands on anything you can, and that's how you start to develop your process. That's how you figure out what works, what doesn't work. And don't be afraid to do free work as well in the beginning to build your portfolio. And just like for me and my brother, it's like we didn't really know what we were doing. We just learned by doing. Educate yourself. Be constantly
Yeah.
educating. Well, be constantly learning. To like our conversation we just had, it's like stuff changes so quickly. You can't just rely on your old way of doing things. You have to
Yeah.
constantly be adapting and evolving. And
So
just
true.
embrace it. Yeah, embrace it. Have fun with it. Enjoy the process because it's not always about the end destination. If you are so worn out and tired and, you know, along the journey, then what's the point? So you got to like always see the highs in it and just trust that you're heading in a direction to where you want to be. I know that was long-winded, but I mean, yeah, that's my
It's
advice.
true.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. You know, and people, I think there's too many people out there now that just worry every day about everything and they don't see what the gifts that they have in front of them, right? I mean, we're all 6 feet above the ground right now. We're able to do things, you know, and help people. And, you know, for the most part, everybody always has problems, sure, but you know, you kind of focus on the good stuff.
Right. Life's a blessing. And I think we too often take it for granted, right? One day
Oh,
we
yeah.
wake up. And so just
Yeah.
making the best out of what we have. And I don't know, that falls into the whole legacy conversation as well. Just like, what can we do today that's going to put us one step closer to building the legacy that we envision for ourselves? So that's kind
There
of
you go.
my life. And I fail often, but every day that's the mentality that I try to keep.
Very good. Very good. Well, sir, I appreciate you coming on our show and telling us about what you do. So, how can people find you? And if they want to do a documentary or a legacy on one of their family members, what's the process of reaching you?
Yeah, for sure. There's a various ways to reach me. I'm pretty accessible. You can find me at my email, Erickson@PlatinumPeak. You can reach out to us on our website, which is dickensbrothers.com, or
That'll
our
be down
agent.
here.
What's up?
That'll be down there.
Yeah, okay. Dickensbrothers.com. That one's the
Yeah.
documentary one. And then if you want to reach us at our agency site, that would be PlatinumPeak.com. But yeah, those are the three main ways if somebody wants to reach out. And if anyone is listening to this and has any questions, if they're interested in a documentary being made about them, simply reach out. If you just are interested in filmmaking or you're starting out, yeah, please don't hesitate to reach out. I always love to talk about filmmaking in general and storytelling. So, yeah.
Outstanding. Well, thanks for being on our show, and everybody, we'll look forward to seeing you in our next episode.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, man.
Great. Bye-bye.
Let's face it, everybody loves to make podcasts and vodcasts, but nobody wants to edit them. Well, except for us. At Premier Podcast Productions, we professionally edit and distribute podcasts and vodcasts for companies around the world. Our process is simple and affordable, allowing you to stay focused on what you do best, developing great content and building your subscriber base. From recording and editing to final distribution and marketing, we can help every step of the way to make your podcast stand out and get the results it deserves. Contact us today at PremierPodcastPros.com to take your podcast to the next level.